Beaming on the blue mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Thank God for our youth. You may be seated. Thank God for each of you, to Reverend Smith and Reverend Kirkland, our minister of music, and to all of the office members of the Mount Olive Church, especially our guests who are sharing with us this morning. We thank God for your presence. And as always, we invite you to come back and share with us in our worship experience whenever you can find time in your schedule. God has smiled on me.
Yes.
He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's why I say, God has he smiled on you? Smile on me. Has set me free. Oh, God has smiled on me. He's been good. I said he's been so good. Lord, you've been so good. Brought me from a mighty long way.
Been good.
Oh, he's been good.
Been good.
I said he's been good.
Been good.
Oh, he's been good.
Been good.
Oh, you've been so good.
Been good.
He's been good to me.
Amen, 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 amen. Turn with me now in your Bibles to, yes, Lord, to Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter number 5.
All right, all right.
Yes, sir.
Paul's letter to the Ephesians.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians chapter number 5. Everybody got to say amen. Everybody need a little more time, say, hold on. Amen. In this fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we'll find these words. I want to read verses 1 through 3 and verses 6 through 11 with our emphasis on verse number 11. And it reads, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Amen.
For a few minutes, you may be seated. I want to talk from the subject, building bridges, not walls. Building bridges, not walls. Because Reverend Kirkland, bridges span the gap so that people can cross and unite. But walls shut folk out.
Yeah.
And so let me begin by saying that God wants us as Christians to build bridges and not walls. Because walls only shut folk out and cause division. But bridges span the divide to bring folk together. But now in our world, there are all kinds of bridges, and most bridges take us across rivers of water. Some of these bridges are found up and down our highways because they are necessary if our cars, our buses, and trucks are to travel from one city to another. And also there are other bridges that go over deep valleys and places that are too low for our cars and trucks to go. Now these bridges are made so that cars can go from one side of a hill to the other side. And then there are also bridges in our social life. And that's why we sometimes spend extra money buying designer clothes, because we want to impress somebody. And so in a sense, clothes can be a bridge to help introduce us to those who we want to impress. Money is also a bridge, because if you want a new car, you need to still spend the money to take it out of the showroom. In other words, it takes money to bridge the gap and cause the car to be registered in your name. And my brothers and sisters, in every aspect of life, a bridge has to be crossed. And I believe most of you have heard that old song entitled "Like a Bridge Over Troubled Water," which suggests to me this morning that there are bridges that we have to cross in every phase of life. Whatever our purpose this morning, we're going to talk about Christian bridges and not separating walls. We're going to talk about building holy bridges and building spiritual bridges. Now, another word for a bridge in the Christian life is fellowship. Note verse 11 say, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, the word fellowship means to extend a hand, to cross bridges, and in the case of believers, to unite one, us as one in Christ. Now, all of this can take place because of the love of God we have in Christ Jesus. And so in this fifth chapter of Ephesians is a golden statement of fellowship. Note Paul tells us in verse 1 and 2 that we are to be imitators of God as dear children, meaning we should walk together in love by doing good, because Christ has given himself as an offering for our lives, meaning we are to build bridges and not walls, because we read in Ephesians 2 and 14 that Christ has broken down the middle walls of race, culture, tradition, and geography that tends to separate and cause prejudice among us. In other words, in Christ Jesus, God broke down all human barriers, created the church as one body of redeemed sinners in relationship with one another, as well as in being in relationship to Him. And right now, my brothers and sisters, sin is the only barrier among us. Sin is the only thing that separates us. But Christ has washed those of us who are saved in the swelling tide of His precious blood. As the songwriter says, what can wash away all my sins? And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so because of Christ, we must put away all the sinful rubbish which weighs down our lives on this side of the river. And that's why the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrew 12 and 1, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us or beset us, and let us run with endurance of patience the race that is set before us. In other words, like a marathon runner in a race, we are to strip away anything and everything that will entangle us and trip us up. Meaning, yes, Lord, we are to put away all things and the sin which separates us from the Savior. Because we have left the old side of the river and we are now on this side. And that's why the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, they are new creatures. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have been baptized in water in the name of Jesus to show forth our identification with His death, burial, and resurrection. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb for the redemption of our sins. We have been baptized by the Holy Spirit that makes us spiritually alive and part of the body of Christ, the invisible church. And so now that we are living on the new side, we are now to build new bridges for others to cross. Because we are not going to be like some folk who got over to the other side and then they towed the bridge down because they didn't want anybody else to follow. We are not going to be partakers with those who use vain words and whose lives are lost in darkness. But we are going to prove what is good. We are going to, yes, Lord, we are going to build bridges of love. We are going to build bridges of righteousness. But now a bridge which cannot support the weight of the cars that go over it is dangerous. And in the same way, Christians who cannot be counted on to do God's will and live holy lives are also dangerous. And therefore, we need to build strong bridges in our world. For instance, right now, Reverend Smith, most of the talk of the politicians is about our infrastructure being in bad shape, our roads, and especially our bridges along the artery of our highways. In other words, our national engineers tells us that America is faced with a great problem of bridges that are subject to collapse. And so we're concerned about the national highway bridges, but we should be more concerned about the social and religious bridges which have collapsed all around us. Because many of our family altar bridges have collapsed and left our children drowning in confusion. But children are not to grow up in a vacuum. They need guidance and direction. And that's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. Now they may stray, but they won't depart, because they will keep coming up many times when they find themselves in crisis. Also, many of our holy bridges have collapsed because holiness is not real if it's put on just for show. Holiness is not real if it's just put on Sunday. Holiness will not hold any weight if the people who put it on just pretend to be close to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, that is why so many holy bridges are breaking down, because God doesn't want only our mouths, but He wants our mouths as well as our
hearts. Because, yes, Lord, because just building a bridge by pretending to be holy is like building a house on sand. I tell you, it will not stand. For instance, Jesus tells the story of two men who built new houses. He says one was wise and the other was unwise. Now, the unwise wanted to put his house up in a hurry. He wanted to finish right away. And so he didn't move the sand, and he didn't dig down to the bedrock. Yes. And he didn't have a solid foundation. He just built on the sand as he saw it. But now the wise man took his time and dug down to the bedrock, and he built his house on a solid foundation. Now Jesus told this story because in Palestine there's a rainy season once a year, and during that rainy season, rivers and streams of waters can appear in unexpected places. And that's what happened to these two men, because when the season for rain and the storm came, the man who built his house on the sand, he lost everything because his foundation was not built on the rock. But now the other man whose house was built on the rock had nothing to worry about, because he prepared for hard times while the sun was shining. He was ready for the test. He was able to endure the rain and the storms because he had tied on to a solid foundation. And so let me ask you this morning, what kind of foundation have you been building the bridges of your life on? Have you been trying to build bridges on good looks and charisma? Have you been trying to build bridges by climbing the social ladder? Have you been trying to build to get what is not yours and control what you don't own? My brothers and sisters, let me say to us this morning that any bridge we build that someone else cannot cross or come across after us will surely leave us stranded. Because in this world, we cannot go anywhere worthwhile by ourselves. If we do get anywhere worthwhile, we should try to take others along with us. But now we know also that in our world, substitute bridges will not do, because there is no substitute for the church of Jesus Christ. There is no substitute for the grace of God that can save a sin-sick soul. There is no substitute for being washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb. There is no substitute for being saved and sanctified. There is no substitute for a man named Jesus, because he is the Son of God. He is the seed of David. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the brightness of the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no substitute for Jesus, because can't nobody do us like Jesus. Money cannot do us like Jesus. Yes, we do need money to pay our bills and live in this world. We need money to give us a sense of accomplishment and a sense of personal worth. But having said that, however, we need something more than money. Well, why is this? Because money cannot buy love. Money cannot buy happiness. Money cannot buy dreams. And most of all, money cannot buy a relationship with God. Yes, we're grateful for silver and gold, but the name of Jesus is more precious than silver or gold. Social friends cannot do us like Jesus. Do you remember those who would be disciples who refused to follow Jesus because they had to go back home? One said, I got to go back and marry, and when I get through, I'll come follow you. They had more socializing to do, Brother Jackson. They had more functions to attend because there is always something going on in the world. There's always another party, another function going on. There's always someone with a new song, a new house, and a new setup. But the problem is it all wears out. Ask the prodigal son and he'll tell you that there comes a time when your money is funny and your change is strange and the party is over. You find yourself in the pig pen of life because there comes a time when your so-called friend will turn their back on you and because you don't have anything to offer and you're down and out. And that's why there should come a time when we too should get tired of so-called friends who don't mean us any good. Because there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. I tell you, no, not one. And that's why the Bible says we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness. Because the kingdom of this world cannot do us like Jesus. What good is it to have a brand new car without Jesus? What good is it to have a brand new house without Jesus? What good is it to have money piled up in the bank that perhaps somebody else is going to spend? What good is there if everybody knows your name? I tell you, our name means nothing, but there is a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. For there is none other name under the heavens given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, I believe this is what Jesus had in mind when he looked out on the world in Matthew 9 and 37 and he declared the harvest is plenteous but the laborers are few. Meaning Jesus was aware of the fact that all life's bridges may seem to get us over but they will only collapse and we're going to be stranded and unable to get back home. And so we need a sure foundation. We need a solid rock and an anchor for our lives. We need the one who says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. My brothers and sisters, we need to build new bridges on Christ because he is a great friend. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is a wonderful Savior. And so perhaps we need to build the bridge of revival because there is no use talking about saving the world if our fire has gone out. There's no use in talking about saving the world if we've lost our inner joy and conviction of faith. There's no reason in talking about saving the world if we are slow and apathetic about Christ. I tell you, we in the church need revival. We as Christian brothers and sisters, we need revival because we need to realize that we are somebody, that we are first-class people, that we are the holy and elect of God, that we have in our lives the mystery of the ages. And that's why our prayer should be, Lord, if our lives have lost power, please revive us. If we are afraid to witness for our faith, Lord, please revive us. If we are afraid to tithe and sacrifice, Lord, please revive us. I tell you, we need revival. But then, too, we should be building bridges of holiness. Now, some folk back up when you say the word holiness, because they don't really know what holiness means. Well, holiness simply means living consecrated lives to God in service, by doing his will. Now, now personal holiness is a work of gradual development by not being conformed to the world or following after the patterns of the world, but by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember now, being in Christ, we are now new creatures, and the old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And so if we have been revived, we will live holy lives. If we have been revived, we'll live consecrated lives. We will be God-fearing men and women, and come what may, we'll pray and we'll wait on the Lord. As we claim our victories, we will lift up our bow down head. And so God wants us to live holy lives, because when we live holy lives, God will fight our battles. When we are holy, we can look at the darkness and say, there's a bright side somewhere. When we are holy, we can stand still and we can study ourselves. When we are holy, we can say with confidence that I know everything is going to be all right. Because as God's people, we should be building bridges of faith, because in times like these, there is a great need for greater faith in God. For we are living in a time when many good people don't even have a job. Many are unable to pay their bills, causing some to wonder, to whom can we turn? Even nature seems to be telling us something, Reverend Kirkland, because floods and earthquakes are happening more and more. New diseases have started to affect people that the doctors can't find a cure. And all around us, we see many conditions that are beyond human control. We need more faith in God, who say, I will never leave you nor forsake you, who say, I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. We need more faith in God. And so the great need for us is to continue to build bridges of faith that brings us together as one, and not walls that separate and divide. Because faith can still work miracles. Faith can still turn our midnight into days. Faith can still put food on your table and clothes on your back. Faith can still pray our children through deep waters and keep the bond of love in our homes. Faith can still fill the believer's soul with the Holy Spirit and give us joy, unspeakable joy. Because faith sings blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, and washed in his blood. And so this is my story. This is my song, praising the Savior all the day long. And so as I try to move to the close, Mount Olive and Christians of the world, let us accept the challenge to wake up and walk by faith. Because the devil loves to do his work while Christians are asleep. He loves to break up homes and destroy young people's lives while Christians are asleep. He loves to sow tares in the wheat field and put stumbling blocks in pathways while Christians are asleep. He loves to build up walls of self-righteousness and put out the candles of humility and love while Christians are asleep. He loves to make the careless and the unconcerned feel that there is peace.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week. at the same time.
Have you ever been in a situation and you were really going through? Your back was against the wall and you didn't know what to do. It seemed like everybody had their opinion about where God wanted you to be. So I cried out to the Lord, I need you to speak to me. Watching everybody else be blessed, yeah. And they're running on with that vision, but it seems like you're in the same old place. 'Cause you're in the valley of decision. It seems like everybody